I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up, you'll hear from the commish of the NFL who spoke to the media today, Roger Goodell. He's normally used to those boos. Talking about the rule changes, that's coming your way. Big shout out to Brandon Ware. From Staleville, he is the winner of the Hawks tickets. He's going to check out the Hawks on Sunday night.
Yeah, baby.
Hawks in action tonight, Mike. You said it. They've got to take the L for the team. That's us.
We get the guaranteed pick of the T-Wolves if they make the playoffs.
If.
Hawks, do your duty tonight. Lay down like dogs.
Yeah. By the way, I heard Dennis has a sprained ankle. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is he out?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Who else is playing tonight?
What, did he kick somebody again?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Very funny, Arthur. Very funny. You'll be happy. You'll miss me when I'm gone, Schwein.
And you were about to be gone. Hey, man, we are going to get to the sideline report with the dogs. We got, yeah, man, no man coming up. And Pat Swilling's going to join us, man. This guy can play. 12 seasons in the NFL, played in New Orleans, where I mostly remember his career, but he was also in Detroit and Oakland, Mike. But we got a lot to get to with Pat coming up here in the next 20 minutes in regards to the new rule changes, but also college football, because his sons are going to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, playing for Coach Johnson. So we'll talk to Pat Swilling, Dome Patrol from back in the day in the Superdome. So good guy, man, and get his take on a lot of stuff. And again, any more trade rumors out there, although nothing really to break in as far as that Odell thing. That's kind of like dying on the vine right now about him going to the Rams. All right, dog report, brother. It's brought to you by our buddies at Right Box.
Yeah, the big thing that you need to know is that Kirby's brilliant. No, I'm not talking about play calling. Kirby is playing a game with the high school coaches in this state that I think is going to win and go a long way. And over the next couple of days, for those who are not aware, Kirby is having a star-studded coaching clinic, all right? And he's bringing in, for those who don't remember or maybe not heard this, Bill Belichick, our own Dan Quinn, and Sean McVay from the LA Rams. And they're all going to speak. And, you know, Mike, they've done coaches' clinics in the past, but, you know, they've not had the kind of expected attendance that they're going to have for this one. They're talking about 700 to 1,000 high school coaches attending this. And so for the next couple of days, the dogs are going to be dealing with this as far as not practicing. But Kirby says that he wants to give back because, obviously, he comes from a coaching family, his dad. But more importantly, he understands that this is the pipeline. You want kids in Georgia to go to Georgia? How do you do that? You get their coaches to care about what's going on at Georgia.
Right.
And so you start bringing in these star-studded speakers, including Belichick and our own Dan Quinn and Sean McVay. And this is the first, I think, of many to come. But this is how you do it. And you've got all these high school coaches who are now interested in hearing and wanting to hear what Belichick and what DQ is going to say, and obviously Sean McVay. But you're also building relationships. And I think this is brilliant. I think you're going to see other people around the country start to do this as far as schools. The thing with Georgia is, you can do this in Georgia because, why? It's the University of Georgia. I think it's harder to do in Florida. We saw Willie Taggart attempt to do this where he brought in the local high school coaches in the area there in Tallahassee. But this is everybody. And so this is what's going to happen over the next couple of days in Athens. And a lot of people looking forward to it, talking about it. It has a lot of hype around it. And that's exactly what Kirby wanted. But he says, quote, "I'm trying to give back to them," talking about the coaches, "because they are the feeder program. The state of Georgia has the best high school coaches in the country because of our state education system is such that they get great benefits, they get great pay. So if they're developing tough, hard-nosed, disciplined football players, guess who gets to inherit them?" And he talks about the program. So I think this is brilliant by Kirby, and I can't wait to hear what these other coaches have to say about it once it's all said and done.
And then you throw in, guys, the West End Zone Project. And, again, if you're going out to the G-Day game on April 21st, obviously they'll be a little more tough getting in and out of Sanford Stadium. But 120,000 total square feet of new and improved space, the game day experience, concessions for the fans, but obviously more stuff for the players and, more importantly, recruits and their families. So basically, you got all this stuff to help kind of win people over. Look, it speaks for itself. I mean, when we were out there for the G-Day game when Kirby first requested the 93,000 show up, remember we saw those recruits coming in? We were allowed. We were allowed inside the hedges, and people were just. You could see the kids, and you knew these guys were going, and some of those kids did sign on the line. But getting back to Kirby, you're right. And remember a couple of years back, how many guys were saying, "Oh man, the big blue dog is digging in our backyard," talking about Jim Harbaugh, and Harbaugh was doing his satellite camps here, there, everywhere. What's that been? You beat Ohio State yet? You know, he had a lot of success working with Brady Hoke's troops, but Jimbo is yet to find the guy. Now, we'll see if he gets his QB from Ole Miss. But Kirby, the number one class speaks for itself. More guys in the pipeline. Look at the depth at running back. Look at the depth at quarterback. And now you just hope that the defensive guys can plug in and just pick it up where they left off.
Now, for me, and I've always said this, win the state, you're going to win, right? Keep a majority. You can't keep them all. I mean, that's unrealistic to think that somebody's not going to go to Auburn, Alabama, or wherever, Clemson. But if you can keep a majority of the kids in state, Mike, you're going to win because there's such a rich pool of talent here. And then you go to Texas or Florida and grab a couple of kids as they did in this last recruiting class. Either way, I think this is great for them. And one other thing I do want to mention, we've got some other news notes as we go on the sidelines with the dogs, but Andrew Thomas is switching from right tackle to left tackle. That's really the only adjustment offensive line-wise that the dogs are doing. They're moving him over. And all these other guys are coming back. So you're going to have a very experienced offensive line to block for Jake Fromm,
right,
man.
On. Hey, man, a couple of things. We told you a few weeks back that most of this shuffling that you saw on the staff, and Seth Emerson wrote a blog about it in Dog Nation covering Georgia and the AJC, about Jim Chaney, you know, working with tight ends, which he's done before, Cortez Hankton, the new wide receiver coach. And then, of course, the big thing is keeping Coach Coley around, James Coley, because Jimbo Fisher, speaking of the guy sniffing in your backyard, Jimbo was trying to get Coley to come to Texas A&M, so they gave him a bump in salary, gave him a new kind of job description on the business card to keep him around. But you got a lot of brain power. And I think one of the areas, maybe because we're so accustomed to seeing things coming off the run game, but, I mean, I think you can even do more in the wide receivers, and certainly with the tight ends. You've talked about Isaac Nada for years.
Yeah, I just, you know, again, and Chaney, I know they're going to have some tweaks and wrinkles, to quote Dan Quinn, as this offense, you know, gets acclimated and rolls back around. But I just thought that was something that was ignored. And I don't know if it was done purposely. You still had a potent offense. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still going to run the ball with Swift and all these guys they're bringing in. And Zeus, hopefully he's ready when the season rolls around. But I do think not a spot as far as his attempts and his targets, Mike. Those got to go. They got to go up. Because on those third and fives or, you know, third and seven situations, I really think you can utilize him in the middle of the field. And I thought he was underutilized. Not just Nada, but, you know, he's a starter. But I thought the tight end spot as a whole at Georgia. We'll see if that gets better as they get going here in the spring.
Because some dog fans have said, is it a good thing to have Chaney not working as much with the quarterbacks because he is the OC after all? I know everybody's like sort of associate OC with some of these job title shuffles. But, I think you got tremendous quarterback talent, as we said. Much like what the Falcons did with Knapp, you brought in a lot of brain power, a lot of guys with their eyeballs on this Georgia offense.
Hey, man, as we always do, we go on the sidelines with the dogs, brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Yeah, I'm on BrightboxElectrical.com, 770-901-2500. Man Cave, take that tax refund you got. You got a tax refund, right? Well, you and I didn't get one.
No.
But if you got a tax refund, go get that Man Cave, and don't save it. Spend it with our buddies at Brightbox. Hey, one last nugget. Wakey, wakey, Jakey, eggs and bakey. Remember,
yeah.
Mark Rick would make those trips to make sure that we kept Jacob Eason on the hook. I saw a video that was out there on Twitter this morning of Jacob, who has to sit out, obviously, for UW, but Jacob Eason running, throwing for the Huskies out there in Washington.
Well, listen, we wish the kid luck. You know, I saw because I started following him, I think it was Skinny QB or whatever it was when he signed with Georgia, and I had seen a recent picture, maybe it's a month or so ago, but he had the University of Washington sticker on one side of his truck and the Georgia Bulldog sticker on the other side.
Right.
So, you know, I think he'll always be connected because this is the first place he came to. But we wish him the best success, man. I hope he balls out up there and, you know, leads Washington ultimately to wherever they want to go. I just want to see kids have the opportunity to play, and he felt like that was the best situation for him.
As they say in The Godfather, as long as his interests don't conflict with our interests, we wish him well.
And I don't know if that'll happen. I mean, Washington's been pretty good.
Yeah, Chris Peterson got him in the Final Four 2 years ago, so we shall see.
Hey, man, we got plenty more to get to. Pat Swilling's going to join us in less than 10 minutes. Your chance to win some moolah, some money here with our $1,000 National Signing Bonus Contest coming up. We started the show today discussing, you know, the baseball season, which is right around the corner, actually opening day tomorrow. And a lot of guys were chiming in on the AJC article by Jeff Schultz, who writes that the Braves chairman Terry McGuirk says that John Coppolella, former general manager who's been banned by baseball, was like cutting cancer to move ahead. You know, cutting the cancer out is how he described it. But as I said on Twitter today, man, I had a hard time buying anything that McGuirk was saying in the sense that, you know, you had all these higher-ups and everybody who was in charge, but yet nobody knew where were the checks and balances.
Right.
And you know, this idea he was rogue. Okay, so you're writing checks. You're you know, the money doesn't add up, but yet he was rogue. I don't know. I'm just having a tough time believing what I'm hearing out of that article. But it's the first time we've heard Terry McGuirk, by the way, who, again, is the chairman of the Braves, talk about this.
But, I mean, if you're the guy who's basically, you know, you're the head honcho, you're the conduit between the Braves and Liberty Media. You know, if all this money, what, they have like a, what was this, like the plumbers in Watergate? They had a slush fund? Did Coppola get the money for these players from a secret cash fund? I mean, it's convenient that Terry McGuirk could say Coppola was rogue. It's a wild card, totally unpredictable. I don't buy it for a minute. I just don't. And like, if you guys do, that's your prerogative. I don't buy anything a corporation sells me. Call me jaded, call me a cynic. I don't buy it. I don't trust Liberty Media. I don't think their intentions are to win baseball games. I think they're going to wait and wait and wait. The idea next year that we're going to have a lot of money to spend, that's awesome. You're going to do it? McGuirk says they got it. Now, again, they're going to do it judiciously, and we're going to make sure Anthopoulos makes the right moves. I mean, the fans have been waiting for it. You said you had to, you couldn't buy your way out of that 13 season, right? So you scrapped it. And what do you got? All the pieces you got for the Uptons and for Craig Kimball aren't even in the big team right now.
No. And this is what I said when I talked about Acuna, you know, who I get it. He'll be here in 2 weeks. Okay, yeah, I'm waiting. But the Braves owe us as fans, Mike, to answer your question, to spend, to make this team better. Now, I don't know how much they're going to have to spend because this year is a year of finding out about a lot of these young arms.
Right.
We got a lot of young pieces. Albies guys, Dansby, all these guys are young. Acuna, all these guys are young. So they just have to come into their own. You know, Ender and Ciarte, all these guys, they fit into the big picture. But really, if it's still about pitching, that's the element we don't know about. And to answer your question, if we got all this money to spend next year and we have a pretty decent young core group of players, well, then go out and supplement that and make us better. Because if they don't, then they're cheating us.
I mean, look, I get it. They're not going to create a new TV network until they have to. They have. I mean, they've cried poverty about this Fox TV deal with Fox Sports South. Okay, well, that's, you know, you do part of what Liberty Media's holding companies have been over the years, a lot of TV networks and TV production companies. I guess you could technically buy out the contract with Fox and start your own Braves channel, create your own version of the Superstation. But they won't, because obviously I'm telling them how to spend their money. Here's the deal, guys. If you don't get it, I'm not going to try to preach it to you. It's a multi-billion dollar company, okay? Yes, they had to retool the farm system. You could do that while still keeping some players on the field that could have had you sniff a wild card. That's my argument. You and I have said this from the time it all went down back in 13 into 14.
Yeah, a lot of guys saying, Dukes, we did get a better general manager. I don't know about that.
How can you know that? Look, Alex may be the best thing since Connie Mack. We're not going to know for – how do we know until it's time?
4 or 5 years.
Well, how do we know maybe – here's another thing with Liberty. What if everybody who says, Carl, this could be like 91, which is, you know, fingers crossed. What if the Braves are sniffing – that wild card. What if at the trade deadline you are within five
games? You make moves. You can't cheat.
Will they cheat us? Will they?
You can't cheat us. You got to make moves to try to get us into the playoffs if that is as close as we are, if it comes down to that. But Alex Anthopoulos, I respect a lot. You know, I think they did make a good hire, but I'm not going to jump the gun and tell you he's the best thing since sliced bread as far as general managers are concerned. Baseball takes a while, and the reason why is because moves don't happen overnight. These are not impact trades like that happen in the NBA or the NFL.
Right.
These trades happen, and then you're either developing guys in the minor leagues or you're bringing them up and bringing them along slowly. It's rare where you go trade for a number one starter like the Astros did because they were a hair away and they felt like it was the difference in Verlander, and it was.
Right.
So I got to wait to see how some of this stuff works out with Alex Anthopoulos before I start going, well, yeah, we got a better general manager. What I do know is the plan, whether you like it or not, that Coppola had seemed like it was in place, seemed like it was moving in the right direction. Now, I know you're going to say, well, he cheated and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, well, that's not my issue. That's the Braves organization. that's the front office's issue. But I think he had a plan, Mike, that was working and moving in the right direction. Now, can Alex Anthopoulos continue that?
It was actually 7 years for the Astros, 6 years of under 500 baseball.
Right.
Before they get back.
Turn the corner.
Yeah. And they got in there in 2015, won 86 games. I mean, I just think there's we talk about that progression. If you feel, look, the young pitchers, can they step up? I saw a blog, by the way, and I think this was in MLB.com. Oh, we had the guy on last year, like Szczęsny, Soplowski, Sabuski. Anyway, the guy wrote this thing.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah, you know him. And he was writing this deal, and he says that one of the things the Braves can do this year, and it's not pie in the sky, they can actually lead the NL, maybe the bigs, and run scored. because you that's how hot people are on Acuña right now.
Well, he's going to hit third, and then you got Freddie hitting cleanup, right? And you know what you want is like that Astros lineup. Who you pitching around, right now? You get to a point where you're not pitching around anybody, and he's going to be on base a lot. That's the thing. Acuña's going to be on base a lot. Can Freddie drive him in? So yeah, I do agree with that. And they're going to steal more bases this year. I believe that as well. Hey man, it's Dukes and Bell. Let's give you a chance to win some cash.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
tree. T-R-E-E. Tree. T-R-E-E. Text that to 72881. That's 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Plan our national signing bonus contest.
As Barbara Walters would ask, remember Arthur, if you were a twee, what kind of twee would you be? Tree.
Or Tree Rollins, formerly of the Atlanta Hawks.
Look at you. It always comes
back
to the Hawks.
Wasn't he a biter? Didn't he bite somebody?
Danny Ainge.
Yeah.
Well, Danny Ainge probably deserved it. Tree to 72881. That's tree, not Trey. Tree to 72881. Tree is the word for the 4 o'clock hour. And good luck, guys, from 92.9 The Game. The guy's name, Carl, Joe Posnanski.
Oh, Posnanski. Yeah, I know Posnanski.
Are you crazy? Wacky forecast for all 30 teams. He says the Braves could lead the NL in scoring. So there you go. So there's some things to be excited about with the bats this year.
He was tough. 5-time Pro Bowler. 12 seasons in the NFL. Pat Swilling joins us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
He played at Georgia Tech, first team All-American in 1985. Swilling was elected to the College Football Hall of Fame in 2009. And we're talking about Pat Swilling, who joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline here on the program. Pat, it's good to have you on the show, man. I got to ask you, though, as we get things started, how much pressure was it for Bruce, your son, and Trey for them to go, Dad, I want to go to Georgia Tech, too? Was there extra added pressure?
Not really, guys. I'll be honest with you. I kind of stayed out of it as much as I could. You know, I was fortunate because Ted Roof was the defensive coordinator during that time, and they knew our relationship, and me and Ted were like brothers. I've known Ted since I was 16, and we've been really close all of our life, and we still are, even though he's gone. So, you know, Ted applied more of the pressure than me, and you know, we looked at USC, LSU, we went over to Alabama. We had tons of other offers, both of them did. But at the end of the day, Trey and Bruce really felt like that Georgia Tech education as well as playing there. And all the guys, including myself, who had played there Swilling-wise, my brother, my cousin, myself, you know, they wanted to be a part of that. So that's why they're there.
Pat Swilling's with us, and I know we have many Saints fans, Carl, that still have not gone home. And they'll love it, man. An original member of the Dome Patrol, 18 Pro Bowls. Between, obviously, Sam Mills, the late Sam Mills, Vaughn Johnson, Ricky Jackson, and Pat Swilling join us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Man, we've heard a lot today, Pat, about the NFL and contact. I mean, how far is the game moving itself away from the game that you played in the 80s and 90s?
Oh, man, it's already far away. I just, you know, you can't hit the quarterback anymore. These wide receivers are running around making catches everywhere. They should be. You can't hit them. Every time you hit them, it's targeting or something else. You know, I don't know where the game is heading, but the game is far away from where, you know, me, myself, Ricky, and the Dome Patrol, and, you know, 49ers and Ronnie Lott and all those great defenses from the Bears and Richard Dent. Hey, man, this is not the same. This is not the same game that we played.
Did you have to be tougher in your era? Now I'm going to preference this question by Mike, and I always say this. You know, you talk to our dads, and they're like, oh, you know, he had to walk in the snow. You talk to your granddad, he did something, you know, extremely difficult as they were growing up. So it seems like each generation, it's like, well, they're softer, softer, softer. But realistically, I mean, Pat, you're right. You could hold, you could hit below the waist, you could take a guy's knee out when you were playing. You can't do any of that stuff now.
Well, we got to look at it this way. We were built to be tough, too. You practice every day. I mean, you look at these guys now, they don't practice more than 10 or 15 days and pass during training camp, if they have training camp. I mean, I listen to talk radio and Bobby Hebert and some other people around the country, and more and more guys are hurt early on in the year because they're not conditioned to play football anymore. These guys are conditioned to go out in socks and shorts and helmets and just run around the field. And, guys, that's all they do anyway is just run up and down the field.
Yeah, because of the collective bargaining agreement, you don't have the two-a-days.
Exactly.
You don't have the hitting. You don't have the tackling like you can. You just don't have the practice of tackling.
Exactly. And that's part of it. But their bodies are not conditioned to play the game of football, and that's why you see all these injuries. I really believe that.
Pat Swilling joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Five-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro as he played in the NFL for 12 seasons. I want to ask you about Paul Johnson because, you know, there were some rumors out there that his attorney or his agent had contacted Tennessee when they were going through all their coaching changes. What do you make of Coach Johnson? And people say, you know, the system doesn't work, or they wish that Georgia Tech did something different. How do you view all of that?
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. I had an opportunity. You know, I was one of those guys who was a critic early on of watching that offense. And, you know, this year alone, I had a chance. I went to every ball game. I had a chance to watch ball games. And, guys, we were probably 6 points from being 9-3, 9-2. We lost a game. We didn't play a game. My whole point is, guys, he can win with it. Mm-hmm. He can win with it. He's shown that he can win with it. And, you know, if our defense would have played a little bit better last year, right, we could have obviously, you know, been in a bowl game and won more ball games. You know, it's a tough offense to defend. You know, I watched him play some guys, man. We played Virginia Tech, and, man, they wore Virginia Tech out. My whole point is, you know, as these guys have found a way, and Coach Johnson has figured out how to run that offense, and I don't think anyone in the country runs it any better than him.
And that's the thing is, Ricky, again, guys, if you're just tuning in, we've got Pat Swilling out here. We talked earlier about the Dome Patrol and the great guys he played with. But, of course, made his hay at Georgia Tech. Coming out of Toccoa, Georgia, it is Pat Swilling with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Carl and I maintain, when it's cooking, a Florida State can't beat it, or why they struggle with it. We've seen teams. You saw what Miss State, how they struggled in that Orange Bowl. But should it take, Pat, that long, every 3 or 4 years to put a team like that together, or longer than that?
Well, it seems to take some time. And, you know, unfortunately, last year, you know, like I said, we didn't get enough stops, and we lost our big fullback. I would say, if anything, if Coach Johnson would throw the ball just a little bit more to keep him honest, his offense would be unstoppable. But there are some downs where they don't cover wide receivers, so they expect to run. And I've told him that, and he kind of laughs because I know that's not what he wants to do. But if he wasn't so predictable and would throw the ball a little bit more, I really believe his offense would be unstoppable.
Now, Pat, you live in New Orleans. You know what this rivalry is with the Falcons and the Saints. What's Drew Brees meant to the city of New Orleans? Because Mike and I threw this around, too, when this whole thing, you know, the possibility of him going somewhere else, I didn't truly believe it. But, you know, they had that window where other teams could talk to him, and allegedly some teams offered him a potential deal to leave. But what's he meant to New Orleans?
Hey, Mr. Mayor. I call him Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor isn't going anywhere. Look, guys, I never thought there was a window. You know, he said he wasn't leaving, and I think everyone in Louisiana, including myself, believed that. I never thought for one day, hey, I figured he could have got more money if he had left. I think the Vikings offered him $40, $50 million a year or something to come, you know, and he said no. At the end of the day, you know, Drew Brees has become the pulse of New Orleans, and not only the Saints, guys. He's loved all over the city, all over the state. I think all over the Southeast down here, from Alabama, you know, all the way to Texas. You know, they love him, and you know, he's been an ambassador for the team. He's done a great job in that role, and you know, I'm as proud of him as anyone. You know, he's going to be a great Hall of Famer. He's already a Hall of Famer.
You know, we've talked a lot about the Saints because we were just joking around. Would you like to start the season with them, as we'll find the schedule out coming out in a bit? But you guys, you're loaded, man. If you guys get that draft right again, and certainly the way you've impressed with the secondary, we've talked about a guy like, you know, Lattimore was doing a great job against Julio when they played twice last year. How good is this defense going to be in 18?
Man, I'll tell you what, this defense has a chance, I think. They just added the linebacker from the Jets. I can't think of his name. You know, they figured out. I really believe we have a 2-year window here with Drew. I think he'll be back next year unless he's hurt or something. I think this 2-year window, we have a chance, guys, to be real good on defense based on the players they're bringing in. They brought back the kid back, the defensive back from Philadelphia, brought him back. Mm-hmm. You know, Mickey Loomis and those guys are doing a great job, Sean, of putting great players in good positions to get ready to win again. But I think they also understand that they have a 2-year window. I think after that, it's going to be tough because they're going to lose Drew.
Pat's familiar with us, by the way. DeMario Davis is the Jets, the linebacker that the Saints picked up to add some beef. And, again, a good secondary as well.
Toughest guy you played against. Toughest guy you played against, Pat. Toughest guy you played against in the NFL.
Hell, Mike Ken. My kid.
Oh, he'll like that.
The old long arm offensive tackle. Mm-hmm. Hey guys, I played against some great players, and Mike Keene being one of them. You know, I could sit here all day. And back in the day, guys, that's when football was played. Everybody in the NFC South and the West was tough. Well, the NFC West. I mean, Jackie Slater, Irv Pinky. Nice. I mean, it goes on. The 49ers, all those guys they had. I mean, you look up and you got Montana, you got Rice, you got all those guys. I mean, it's unbelievable the talent during the late 80s and during the time we played. So, I mean, I played a lot against a lot of great players.
For our millennials out there, Mike Keene, five-time Pro Bowler with the Falcons, and if he was in New York or Chicago, he'd probably have a chance at the Hall of Fame. Hey, man, so you blame Bobby Hebert then for you guys not winning no more playoff games down there? We'll tell Bobby when we talk to him.
Yeah. Heck yeah, I blame his butt. I blame him all the time. I tell him that. Bobby, you were the problem. If we had had Drew, I'd have rings on my fingers and toes, man, when we play defense.
I do agree with that. I can't deny that. Hey, it is Pat Swilling, guys. And again, what an honor it was for you to be entered and elected into the College Football Hall of Fame. That happened a while back. It's been, what, 8-9 years now. But what did that mean for you? What did that mean for you?
Oh, man, it meant a lot. I mean, to be, you know, one of the elite players, you know, during that time. And, you know, most people don't know, I still hold a college football sack record of 7 sacks in one game against North Carolina State. Mm. And, you know, it meant a lot for me and my family to go up to North Bend. But I tell you what it really means now, though. When we come to Atlanta for games, sometimes friends come from down here and they've never been to the Hall of Fame, and we take them over there, and it's a beautiful and wonderful facility over there they built in Atlanta, and they get a chance to see me and all the other great players, and, you know, that's a thrill for everyone.
Well, it's always a thrill catching up. Don't be a stranger, Pat. We'd love to get you on during the season, maybe talk more about the Saints and the Falcons if you got the time.
Sure, I'd love to. Call me anytime, guys.
Thanks so much, Pat, and good luck to the boys, man. Bruce and Trey, who are over at Georgia Tech. That is Pat Swilling.
Hey, go Jackets. I gotta get that go Jackets in, man.
There it is. There it is. He's a heck of a player, man.
Yeah, and for guys who don't remember the 80s, again, for our millennials out there, that linebacker core, the Dome Patrol, unbelievable. The Steelers had amazing linebackers in the 70s. Everyone remembers Giants with Pepper Rogers,
Lawrence
obviously,
Taylor.
And Carl Banks. But that Saints linebacking core was insane. He's right. If the offense could have done more, they'd have done more.
Coming up. Yeah, man, no man. Also, in the 5 o'clock hour, you'll hear from Dan Quinn and the commish. Dan Quinn talking about a lot of things, including would he want to see the Eagles in Week 1? We'll let you hear it coming up on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
It's time for Yeah, Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment. It's sometimes a surprise question. Here's today's question number one.
All right, AT, let's get to it.
All right, our friend Willie McGinnis of the NFL Network says Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh will be one of the most feared twosomes in NFL history.
Whoa.
Is that a little too much right now?
Well, listen, there's a lot of brand value there with Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, name value. But it doesn't mean jack until you jump on the field. And you know, we've seen this before where on paper it looks terrific, and then you get out on the field and they don't do anything. You know, I'm actually more concerned, to be honest with you guys, about how that locker room now works. Because you've got a guy that was – listen – whether you like him or not, ran out of Miami, Mike, and Ndamukong Suh, and you're bringing him into a situation where you got a bunch of new faces. I'm more curious to see how that interaction takes place. As far as him being dominant on the field, show me. No, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say, you know what, I will say, yeah, man. Here's why. I think he'll respect Wade Phillips. I don't think he respected the coaching staff in Miami. Adam Gase is actually, well, Sean McVay is actually younger. He's younger than everybody, but he's younger than Adam Gase. According to our buddy Armando Salguero from the Herald, you got Donkey Kong Suh walking in that Dolphins locker room MFing the coaching staff. So
that doesn't go over well.
To your point, I mean, when he's on the field and his head's on straight, yes, he can be that guy. I think that Wade Phillips will get the most out of him. I'll say yeah, man.
All right, guys, listen to this audio and tell me if Ben Simmons isn't disrespecting the Hawks.
I see you a PUBG master, though, so I'll let you be.
You getting it? Hop on, man. Play one. You got time. Who do you play tomorrow?
Hawks.
There you go. You got plenty of time.
Now he's talking to Carl Anthony Towns of the Timberwolves, who the Hawks play tonight in Minnesota.
Are they playing video games?
They are playing video games. And so he's asked the question, who are you playing tomorrow? And he says the Hawks. And he's like, oh yeah, you got time. So These two teams, the Sixers and the Hawks, play Friday night. So will this become bulletin board material for Friday's game?
Listen, I would love to tell you, yes, it will and it matters, but it don't. We ain't beating the 76ers and we ain't beating the T-Wolves tonight. He's absolutely right. That's not disrespecting Mike Bell. Mm-hmm. He's just stating facts. Sorry, I got to roll with him and say, no, man, that is not disrespecting the Hawks.
And by the way, no, man, and don't have a – number one, if you're a Hawks coaching staff with Coach Bud, don't even have a bulletin board to put that on, let alone put that up there. Well, look, especially today.
Who are you going to tell? Plumlee?
Right. Yeah, you know, Plumlee's going to set you straight.
Really?
Yeah, Musty and Plumlee are going to go to town on towns. You just watch. But no, as far as the game tonight, Hawks must lose to the Timberwolves. We need the Timberwolves to get in the playoffs. We get their protected draft pick if and only they are in the playoffs. It's imperative we lose again. Arthur's not comfortable with his language, Carl. We lay down like dogs in the Twin Cities tonight.
Just went out and shot ourselves.
Thanks, Coach Lou. Thanks, Skipper.
You know what? Turn in all of your Hawks gear right now. Hey, the Lakers guard, Isaiah Thomas, he's expected to have hip surgery tomorrow. It's going to be a scope with an extended rehab process to follow. His season is over. So now, will this affect his free agent pursuits this summer?
Yes, man. Listen, as much as we've talked about Isaiah Thomas and what he can be, he hadn't done any of that this entire season. Went to Cleveland, cried. Got ran out of town. Went to L.A. I want to be a starter. Starts, coming off the bench, either or, he's been a buster. This is a wrap for Isaiah Thomas. He's too small, and now he's injured. No, man.
Yeah, no, man. It was an amazing story about what? Like this time last year, he's everybody's darling on the Celtics. And then, boy, oh, boy, from the penthouse to the outhouse, no, man.
Well, the Lakers are interested in bringing him back. Oh, so they say now. We'll see how that plays out this summer. Speaking of a former or a current Cav, LeBron James is talking about himself again.
Of course he is.
He told the AP,
quote. Gotta love yourself, AT.
He told the AP, quote, I would vote for me in regards to the MVP award. He definitely has the numbers, but is he wrong here?
Yeah, you're underachieving with a mediocre Eastern Conference. I know you reshuffled the deck midseason at the deadline. But yeah, man, no, it's James Harden.
Pew, pew, pew.
James Harden's the MVP, please. Get out of here.
I mean, come on. You guys are underestimating what this guy's doing. At his age, I mean, he's playing the best basketball of his life right now.
Man, he'll be the first to tell you.
with guys that, listen, there are no expectations for. Whether you agree or disagree, LeBron could easily be the MVP again. But he won't.
He can be it. He won't win a title.
He won't. It is James Harden.
But I mean, like, I hate the MVP award just like I hate the Heisman. It's so subjective. It's like the Oscars, right? I mean, how do you get into that? I mean, especially because what Harden means to his team, what LeBron means to his team, what Damian Lillard means to the Blazers.
Listen, I get that. But like last year was clear cut. Dude averaged a triple-double for the season.
Right.
Westbrook MVP. This year, James Harden. The Rockets have the best team, at least during the regular season. To me, it's clear cut. But the idea is you're right. How can you say if LeBron leans less or more? I'm with you on that.
All right, guys, let's shift to baseball and last night's incident at Chavez Latrine. Ravine. If you hadn't heard, the Dodgers-Angels spring finale game was called because of a sewage leak at Dodgers Stadium. The stinky sewage
please, Craig,
was clearly
will you stop
a
playing
foul,
the sound
right?
effects? Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Somebody's got gas. What? Go ahead, AT.
I said the stinky sewage was clearly a foul, right?
Yeah, man. Now, here's the thing. I mean, they say they're going to – I guess ServPro comes in and tries to clean it up.
For
the guys from the green trucks, they have like a fire or something. I mean, I got to be honest. You're going to need a blank load of air fresheners to get that right for the next game, man.
Why you got to use that phrase, a blank load? yes, that is a foul. Yes, man. And if you missed it, basically there was poop everywhere. And then they came in there to clean it up. It's a shame because Chavez Ravine is one of the most beautiful settings in baseball.
Right.
If you've never been to a Dodger game or never been out to L.A. to check it out, it's one of my favorites.
Great food, great setting.
It is, man. I totally agree. So hopefully they get that cleaned up quickly.
And for one more bad pun, it's a crappy way to end the game.
You're right on, but that ain't
it. You want to keep this up? We want to keep this up?
Yeah.
Now, hold on. Was Albert Pujols playing in this game? Because they weren't playing the Angels, right?
With a witness saying he viewed Albert Bell taking a leak in the middle of the parking lot Saturday night, as Matt Cunney mentioned earlier, and this witness saying Bell never did what the woman claimed, is he now off the hook?
No, man, because you're still drunk as a skunk because you pulled out your Johnson in the parking lot there. I mean, yeah, I get it. It's not like he was apparently, Carl, waving that thing around. He was just trying to go relieve himself. But there's still people walking around. You got to have situational awareness. And he was obviously too zooted to know that.
He's just saying hello with his wang. Listen, here's the deal.
If there's kids in the car, I think you probably want to tune it out.
Yeah,
right
now. I hear you. But sometimes you got to go. And I said this with Mike Conti. Yeah. Don't act like you've never been in that situation where there was no restrooms around and you're like, is anybody looking? I've been there, done that. Now, I wasn't drunk as a skunk, but no, he's not off the hook. No, man, Bullard, just because she said he didn't do what he did. Is there a video?
There is a photo. There is a photo. And the photo shows him facing his vehicle.
But he's got his pants below his buttocks. I mean, you could maybe leave your drawers on and do your thing without having your pants and your butt showing. That's
well, it depends, Mike. Sometimes
and
that's
by the way,
he was wearing them.
For you golfers out there, remember, we don't have full foliage yet as the flowers and the trees and the leaves are still blooming. So if you have to relieve yourself in a golf course in Davis, a residential area, please look left and look right before you pull out your putter.
All right, here's my last question of the day. With all the rules changes and free agent moves, this NFL story, and more specifically this Rams-Chargers story, hasn't received much attention. But the cost of the new Rams Stadium project is expected to cost, listen to this, $5 billion to build.
Wow.
Yes, $5
billion. Wow.
So has the cost of building a facility gotten out of hand?
Well, ours, what did ours cost?
$2 billion. Yeah, $2.5 billion. I'll look it up right now.
Okay.
I want to say $2.5 billion. They still have some overruns, like they got to spend more money on the footbridge and all that. But and the city's picking up a piece of that action.
All right.
Well, let me double check.
But a majority of the cost for us was the roof, right? I mean, let's we had this
$200 million charge, change charge because of the roof issues. Yeah.
All right. With that said, and I'm just trying to use that as an example. So you're talking about a stadium that's $3 billion more than ours?
Yeah.
It says $1.5 billion.
I don't, really?
Ours was $1.5 billion. I said, too, it's $1.5 billion.
Okay. Well, then it's $4 billion more. Yeah, absolutely. Now, you would say it's L.A. and everybody wants to talk about the cost of living in L.A., which, listen, it is an exorbitant amount. But that's ridiculous, man. I mean, again, this is why cities have been held hostage over the years, Mike, when teams have threatened to leave. Now, here's the thing. If you're an NFL team, you're not going anywhere. Where are you going? Whoever buys Carolina, where are you threatening to move to?
Yeah, the carrot on the stick is gone.
Yeah, if you're not going to build a new stadium.
Unless somebody tries to go to San Diego.
Well.
Yeah, but then you can't get that city on the same page to build a stadium down there either.
It may be time for some of these owners to pony up their own money.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, because $5 billion, that is unbelievable.
Well, they're ripping off. They're going to do... They have a. Have you seen the artist's rendering of it?
Uh-huh.
They got a cut like the Staples Center giant lobby you walk in, kind of like what we saw at T-Mobile in Vegas. But then they've got their own version of the Halo board, and I mean it's unbelievable. I mean all the bells and whistles they put in this thing. Roger Goodell today.
Retractable roof?
I know it's not because it's California.
Oh yeah,
you don't need
great
it.
Weather.
And we still haven't heard the cost of Las Vegas's reportedly new building.
But that's half the cost. It's going to be no way it's going to be more than ours.
No, maybe $2 billion just with inflation. That is Yeah Man, No Man. AT, great job. Thank you. Hey, coming up, it's the Falcon Report, guys. We'll hear from Dan Quinn. We'll also hear from the commissioner who tries to explain to us this targeting rule. And Dan Quinn talking about who he wouldn't mind facing in week one. Falcon Report's on the way here on Dukes and Bell.
Colonel, you better take a look at this radar. What is it, son? But it looks like a giant...
Private! We have reports of an unidentified flying object!
That looks just like an enormous...
Wang! Pay attention.
I was distracted by that enormous flying...
Johnson. Yes, sir.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.